The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. There were some that were betting against that.
Yes, simply because you'd have to deal with me for 3 hours leading into that fourth hour.
I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we've got a lot coming your way between now and the end of the show. We look forward to bringing you comments from Rick Barnes as he talks about Tennessee's loss at Georgia, as well as the matchup tomorrow night at Vanderbilt. We'll have remarks from Kelly Harper as the Lady Vols looked awfully good getting the win at Florida yesterday. If we have time, and I think we will, we'll have comments from Titans coach Mike Vrabel as the Titans go to Kansas City this weekend for the AFC Championship game, Titans against the Chiefs. We have all that and more, but right now it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, what is up for grabs tonight?
A $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. As Coach Brown just talked about, last year was a struggle and then some for Vanderbilt, as the Commodores did not win a conference game. The question is, what SEC team holds the conference record for consecutive losses? In men's basketball, what conference team holds the record for consecutive losses? 656-9900, regular season, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Vince?
I'm good, Danny. Hope you are.
I'll be better if I can get this right.
Okay.
Okay, what team, college team?
Yeah, what SEC team holds the record for consecutive conference losses in men's basketball?
I'm going to say Arkansas.
It is not Arkansas, but Danny, we sure do appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let's go next to JT. Hello, JT.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Let's say Ole Miss.
It is not Ole Miss. Ole Miss once had the record, but does not any longer. But we sure do appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to John. Hi, John. How are you? John, you with
us? Gentlemen. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
I was going to go with Ole Miss, but let's go with Texas A&M.
It is not Texas A&M, but John, sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. We go next to Fred. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Join the show. I'm going to try Alabama.
Alabama is correct.
All righty, then.
From the 68-69 season, they lost their last 15, and then that streak continued into the 1969-70 season. So Alabama.
I sort of remember that era there, and they were terrible there at one point, yeah.
As good as Alabama has been historically in basketball, Fred, I never would have had them as my guess. But, Fred, that 22 straight losses is the regular season record as held by Alabama in the SEC. So, Fred, you are our winner. Vince, tell him what he's won.
A $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf. Well done.
Way to go, Fred.
Thank you.
All right. Hang on the line so we can get your information, all right?
Okay.
Thank you. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. Wow.
Hey, you're wondering about whether we'd have time to play Mike Vrabel comments. That helps.
Yeah, it sure does. So why don't we go ahead? We'll grab a break right now. And when we return, we'll bring you, first of all, an Eric Kane practice report, then comments from Rick Barnes. But we will have time now. Mike Vrabel will come your way at some point in time between now and the end of the program. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara sitting in for Jimmy Hyams. We hope Mr. Hyams enjoying the day off. Vince, not a big surprise, but Tennessee had two players that had committed to the Volunteers that did not sign on signing day in December. And as Brent Hubbs has talked about, as Rob Lewis, both of VolQuest.com have talked about, not a big surprise that three-star offensive lineman Kyree Miller, who has been committed to the University of Tennessee, he is now decommitted and has reopened his recruitment.
Yeah, there are a number of schools. I think Arkansas was involved with him for a while that were still recruiting him. And not a surprise, I think, for any of the analysts and for anyone that he has reopened his recruitment. I don't know that someone that opens up the recruitment this late in the process, you can usually wave them goodbye. And maybe, you know, Tennessee is okay with that. So I think it's not a surprise, and I think Tennessee did a lot of its work in the early signing period in recruiting.
So it's time now for a Tennessee practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we get to say hello to Eric Kane. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Rick Barnes met with the media earlier this afternoon. Of course, Tennessee is on the road tomorrow at Vanderbilt at 6 o'clock. Ball network coverage will take over our airwaves at 5:30. And Rick Barnes talked a little bit about the game against Georgia and previewed the game against Vanderbilt. Of course, Tennessee looking to make it three straight in Memorial Gym, trying to build on what it's done earlier in the conference season. But we'll run into a buzzsaw in Vanderbilt. Now, it won't have its best player, of course, in Aaron Nesmith, who was ranked fifth nationally and leading the SEC with 23 points a game. He's out indefinitely with an injury. But it does have Saban Lee, who primarily comes off the bench, leading the team in points per game with 15 so far. And he's done a really nice job in the absence of Aaron Nesmith. But Saban Lee's a guy that leads the team in points, in steals, a lot in rebounds, and all that's coming off the bench as well. So talked a little bit about how defending him, saying he's one of the hardest guys in the entire country to defend, and also noted that Vanderbilt hasn't changed a whole lot in the absence of Aaron Nesmith. Said that, you know, when you get to this point in the season, it's really difficult to change who you are. He said Jerry Stackhouse has done a really, really nice job so far in his first season. But Vanderbilt is on a four-game losing streak, has not won a conference game since 2018, and Tennessee is looking to try to get back on to the win column after a 17-point loss at Georgia earlier this week.
I don't think there's any question that it was very frustrated Rick Barnes that met the media after that loss in Athens. And you really don't get much of a time, one, to work on things that were so frustrating in the loss to the Bulldogs before you get right back on the bus, literally and figuratively, as they head to Nashville. So what do you think in terms of the matchup yourself, Eric, between Tennessee and what is a Vanderbilt team that is now missing its leading scorer?
Well, like it for Tennessee, this is a game where Tennessee, this is just a perfect get-right game. I mean, it's a game where Tennessee can not play its best ball game and probably still pick up a victory. But again, this team's proven that it's not shooting the ball very well. And so if you're not playing well in other areas, if you're not playing well defensively, then any team can beat you throughout the season. Tennessee did not play very well defensively at all against Georgia, a season-high 80 points given up. And you're right, Rick Barnes, very displeased post-game, calling his team soft a number of times. And he was asked about that comment, and he said it could be both mental and physical. Just trying to get guys to understand how difficult it is to win in this league. They're just not quite there yet. He said that this is kind of like 3 or 4 years ago when, you know, Grant Williams, Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield, all those guys were just getting going, and that they've got lessons to learn. And you know, it prospers into what was kind of like last year, but you got to start somewhere. Again, he reiterated that how important the upperclassmen are on this team, and John Fulkerson, Jordan Bowden, Jalen Johnson, Eve Pons, how they have to play well each and every night for this team to have a chance. So, again, Rick Barnes very frustrated, as you pointed out, but I do think this is a really good opportunity for Tennessee to get back to playing Tennessee basketball, playing good defensively, because even if that shot doesn't fall, Tennessee always has a chance because it's one of the best in the nation in terms of defensive scoring.
We all know that Memorial Gym is very unique, and for Tennessee, you've got more than half the team that are newcomers. And so unless there would be the opportunity, I don't know of anybody out of the six that are technically newcomers for Tennessee this year that have played before at Memorial Gym. What do you think that'll be like? And I wonder exactly how long it'll take them to perhaps get comfortable with the benches being at the end of the floor as opposed to on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think it'll take a little bit of an adjustment period, but at the end of the day, when you finally settle down, it's still basketball. But think of a guy like Santiago Viscovi, who everything is just already being thrown at him in the 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks that he's been on campus. He's played in 4 games. He's been in different arenas. He's never played in front of all this these crowds. He's going to classes now. He's learning an offense, learning a defense. He's running the point. Just all these different things being thrown at Santiago Viscovi. And then, you know, tomorrow you're going to head into an arena that it never looks like one you've ever played in before. But, again, I think at the end of the day, it's still basketball. Things will settle down. That shouldn't play a huge factor in the overall scheme of the game. But I will say, Rick Barnes also did talk about playing so many young guys and all the adjustment periods they're having to go through. He said, we'd like to do some different stuff, but really we just can't right now. He said that when Santiago Viscovi came in and he found all that recent success early on, he said the team adjusted to Santi. So the team did a lot of things that made Santiago Viscovi very comfortable. Now you're seeing Viscovi try to adjust to what we want to do. And he said that that's playing off the ball, you know, doing some different things defensively. He said he's just really tired right now, physically, mentally, and all that stuff, and that's expected. And you could see that the other night at Georgia. He commented on that as well today. So I think that adjustments galore for this very young basketball team. It's evident on the roster. It's evident on the court. And Rick Barnes did talk about that earlier today.
And what do you think it'll be like a second outing for Uroš?
I think the more he plays, the better he's going to get. I mean, he came in, he was very eager, he was very excited. He hadn't played, and this is his first ever college basketball game, really hadn't played competitively in about a year and a half. So you saw that when he came in, he was sprinting down the court. I think he did get tired just a little bit. But overall, he's been with the team. He's been practicing with the team. And so this isn't like a Santiago Viscovi situation, whereas Uroš knows what Tennessee is trying to do. It's just a matter of getting reps and performing when he's under the lights. And that's what Rick Barnes said earlier today. So I think Uroš will continue to get better and better the more he plays. I think he's a guy that Tennessee can need. He's 7 foot. He can be a rim protector. He can be a guy that can, you know, get some buckets down in the blocks. But again, it'll just take a little time for him as well as he adjusts to the college game. But certainly it's a good thing for Tennessee to have him eligible compared to not. And I think the more he plays, the better he's going to get.
Any other news or notes?
Well, that'll about do it. Again, Tennessee and Vanderbilt in action tomorrow, Memorial Gym in Nashville, 6 o'clock. Ball Network coverage takes over our airwaves at 5:30. We got audio of the Rick Barnes media availability today. As of course, you guys have probably already played some of that on your show, but it is at 991thesportsanimal.com as well if you want to get some more of what Rick Barnes had to say on Vanderbilt and the Commodores. This UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Eric, what can we look forward to tomorrow morning on Saturday Sports Talk?
Yeah, Joel Silverberg and I are going to preview Conference Championship Sunday, Tennessee at Kansas City and Green Bay at San Francisco. Jonathan Hutton of Titans Radio will join the show at 9:30 from Kansas City to, again, talk more Tennessee Titans. So we'll preview that. We'll preview Tennessee Volunteers at Vanderbilt and a whole lot more tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 on Saturday Sports Talk.
We'll look forward to that. Eric, have a great night, a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee practice report brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Why don't we go ahead and throw out our SEC notebook? It's brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We mentioned it with Coach Brown, Vince. A couple of big matchups around the conference. When you look at Kentucky trying to bounce back a loss, a second half, collapse against South Carolina to now stay on the road, play at Arkansas. Razorbacks playing some awfully good basketball. And then Auburn trying to bounce back from its first loss of the season, not just in the conference, but overall, as Alabama in the end stretched the lead against the Tigers to get a big win for new coach Nate Oates in his first meeting as Alabama's head coach against Auburn. What do you think of those two matchups?
Well, I think we haven't seen Auburn in this situation. I think they'll be fine. Florida has been so inconsistent, so it's hard to say what you're going to get from them from game to game, but I would anticipate that both Kentucky and Auburn do bounce back. I do like Arkansas. Coach Brown talked about the coaching of Coach Musselman, and they've been playing defense from the get-go. They've got scoring, and they can defend, and that's always a tough place to play. But it's still a very talented Kentucky team. So I would expect both of those teams to bounce back. But, boy, this SEC season, this college basketball season, very unpredictable. And I might have sounded harsh in throwing out the word mediocre, but I think college basketball, all the conferences are down. And it's just a big jumbled mess because there's not separation in these teams. So I think the SEC is like a lot of other conferences. It's just they're just don't have as quality a team. So you're going to have more perceived upsets.
Tennessee heads to Vanderbilt. The Volunteers on the road tomorrow night. And before we bring you Rick Barnes' comments, we'll say that this report brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Get game day ready with Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt bourbon handcrafted for a distinctly rich and complex character. Available at your favorite Knoxville retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy it responsibly. Earlier today, Rick Barnes met the media.
You sounded pretty perplexed after the game Wednesday night in Athens. After watching the film, did you find anything to feel better about?
Well, the thing that was perplexing about the other night was, you know, we had played two teams that are very physical, and I thought we really played very, very, very hard physically with our effort, particularly in both of those games, to be honest with you. But and then not to have that same kind of mentality was what was most disappointing, because we didn't do anything that we – at the level that we need to with our scouting report, and they didn't do anything that we didn't talk about with our guys, and so that was the most disappointing thing. Our first two offensive possessions, three, you know, I could go as far as probably six or seven. You know, we just stayed behind a 3-point line, didn't try to put any pressure on the rim, and that's what we had talked about wanting to do. But looking at the film, not much changed about what my thoughts were after the game, and other than the fact that I know that we can. There's nothing that we can't fix if the mindset's right.
You said soft kind of over and over again about the defense. How do you kind of hammer home being tough into a team like this?
Well, that's a good question. You know, other than the fact that you point out the obvious, and when you talk about soft, now that can go a lot of different ways. It can be mental, you know, where guys aren't locked in doing their job mentally, you know, especially when they've done it before. And it's not like we hadn't done it's not like we had a whole different game plan against Georgia, because it really, what we do defensively, we try to stay as consistent as we can. But I think it's guys understanding how difficult it is to win at this level. And I think that's what, you go back, I could take you back 3-4 years ago, some of the same conversations this time of year were held then, because these guys are going through something that they've never gone through. They've only watched it from afar as a high school kid. But then we need our older guys. I said the other night, we need John Fulkerson and Jordan Bowden and Jalen Johnson and Eve Pons to be really good every night. We need them to at least just do the fundamental things that we need them to do. And it can't be just one night and three of them not doing it. Those guys are important. They really are. But and our younger guys, like I said, they're doing some good things, and they still haven't quite understood the importance that every possession matters. But you kind of expect that a little bit this time of year, playing as many freshmen that we are putting out there. But the older guys, they played enough to know better.
Have you ever had a year quite like this one, just in terms of the roster changing as much as it has in midstream?
Mm-mm, I never have. I've said before, we feel like we start over. I think Grant asked me a question after game about, you know, a zone defense. There's a lot of things we'd like to do, but we can't, because we're just starting over with like, I don't think Santi could have made the impact that he made early when he first got here without us adjusting to him some, and not expecting him to totally adjust to us. But as time has gone on, we're trying to get him to adjust to what we want to do and how we want to play. And so he's learning that. Plus, now he's having to learn to play off the ball as well. And so, there's some times during the game we'll leave the timeout, and he'll just say, "Coach, exactly what do I need to do here?" Where there's a lot coming at him. But overall, I don't think we've ever had two players come in at right after Christmas and like it's happened. But Urosh is not so much now. He was a little nervous. I mean, he told us that after the game, because it happened so suddenly for him. And I thought he really, and I said it after the game, handled himself pretty well. But We need those guys, and we need to get on track to where we can start trying to build some continuity with what we're doing.
With your RCC's practice, does that kind of help in terms of the adjustment process compared to what y'all are dealing with Sun too?
Yeah, Uro shouldn't. I mean, he's been here from day one. He knows what we're doing, and it's a matter of him now, and when the lights come on and the motion of the game's going on, that he can concentrate and think about it. Like the other night, he had some blown assignments on the on our defense, ball screen defense, and had a chance to block some shots that he didn't. But from a scheme point of view, he should know what we're doing because he's been with us from day one. Santi, on the other hand, has got a lot coming at him right now.
You mentioned Wednesday that Jordan was really the only one that was able to kind of get you into transition. Do you at all consider him using him in that position more going forward?
We've told you guys before, you know, if one of those guards get it, we'd like to see them go with it and those guys be as interchangeable as possible. But he did, when he went there, he did do that. And playing the point's not the easiest thing to do. And what we want in our transition game, that position's the most important, obviously. And people know that, I think, on any team. But he can. Could he do it all the time? I don't think he wants to do it all the time, but I think it can help him doing it some. I do think that. And plus, if he gets in there and rebounds, we'd like to see him come out with it.
Have you dealt with a team before that just kind of struggles to consistently follow a scouting report?
You know, that's a really good question because I've said before, as the neat thing about having an older group of guys, most of the time you only have maybe coach one new guy or two guys, you know. But out there now, you know, because we've got guys playing new positions, you're really coaching all five spots a lot. And you're asking guys to learn a lot and to really maintain their thought process, their intensity level. But that's part of growing too, understanding a scout report and understanding that it's what it is. It's a cheat sheet for you, but you've got to be willing to make it happen. And it can be a matter of 2 feet sometimes, you know, where you are on the court, understanding spacing, all that, whether it's offense or defense. But it's just that we've got a lot of freshmen, and we got guys that were put in situations that honestly we thought a couple of these guys might be in a position to redshirt this year, but that's not the case. And they're out there having them play, and they're learning. That's all I can tell you. They're learning.
Where do you feel Santiago is defensively? Seemed like he had a hard time maybe transition the other night.
I thought he looked really tired the other night. I told the coaches after the game, I felt like it finally caught up with him a little bit with what he's going through. I thought he looked tired before the game. And I don't know if it's emotionally or – I'm sure it's a little bit of all of it, you know, but – what he's gone through in 2 weeks is pretty remarkable if you think about it. But it's not because of a lack of want to or effort. Because, again, he's learning. And now I'm taking him in and out of the game when he doesn't do the things that we've talked about. And so I'm sure that wears on him too a little bit. But the bottom line is that we've got to have organization. We've got to be together. And if he doesn't know it totally, we've got to get the guys out there that we think can – like the five guys can really handle it together in certain situations.
What do you see from Vanderbilt and just how much have they changed without Neesmith?
Well, you know, I think Jerry Stackhouse has done a terrific job. I do. I look at what he's done and he runs some really good things. You know, they will mix their defenses. You know, they'll play, I think they want to play mostly man, but we'll play some zone, have shown some pressure, you know, when needed. But they haven't changed a whole lot because I think this time of year when you get going, you like to be able to – I think you have to change when you're – like we've had to change because we've added a piece. But I think, again, he's done a really good job. Guys are still playing hard. And Saban Lee is as tough a player to guard as there in the country. I mean, he gets that ball where he wants to get it. And they've got young guys playing too that are learning. Again, I think he's done a really good job. And when you lose a guy that's, you know, one of the best scorers in the country and a guy you count on heavily, that's tough. I mean, we did it here for 2 years. You know, we lost Kevin Punter and we lost Robert Hubbs, our two leading scorers at one time. And it's hard, but what it will hopefully what we would say, and I think he would feel like it's – accelerate the learning of those younger guys.
Does he do a lot of Carolina stuff? Or
No, he's not. I think he runs some really good sets. I mean, you go back and watch some of the games when they – I mean, he's dialed up some good stuff at the end of the games. And I'm sure, you know, he's a – you know, is the NBA. You know, Jerry Stackhouse is one of the really one of the best players I've ever coached against. To this day, I think two of the greatest dunks I've ever seen. He had one of them, and I think that he's having a really positive influence on his team, and he's really really good sets. They run really good sets, but I haven't seen much of the Carolina system.
Did you like the way that Roche seemed to have a plan when he got the ball in the post the other night? It seemed like he was maybe more assertive than Fulkerson or Pons.
Yeah, we weren't sure what he was going to do, but that's what we wanted. That's what we need him to do, and he did that. Now he'll have to learn. If he can do that a couple more times, now he won't have as much room, so he's going to have to learn to be quicker. He's going to have to learn to be stronger with the ball, but just those shots he took. I mean, the first one, you get it. I mean, he was nervous, and he short-armed it a little bit, but he has the ability to score in there and do a lot of things, but he's a freshman too. I mean, he's learning, and he hasn't played in a long time. But we need him. We need him to do that. We need John to do it. Olivier needs to get back inside. He's thinking too much perimeter right now, and we need him to get back in there and do some work. And Olivier can. He just got to settle down. He's got too much going through his head right now, where he just needs to do a couple things well for us. And then his offense will come.
Comments from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes.
Yeah, you could tell that Uros was rushed a little bit. And as you mentioned, short-armed it. I think you'll see him. I think his mind tied up, his feet. I think you'll see him be a little bit better defensively. And that's something that's been a focus for him, in addition to getting a shot off and getting that, doing that quicker.
So those comments from Rick Barnes, as well as our SEC notebook, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink better this basketball season with award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey 91, the only Tennessee high malt bourbon handcrafted from 4 grains, including 3 specialty malts, for a distinctly rich and complex character. Available at your favorite Knoxville retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. More coming as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
You ever notice how stations that promote less talk never actually say anything worth hearing in the first place? We talk sports all the time. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk rolls on. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. It is the AFC Championship game this weekend in Kansas City. The Chiefs play host to the Titans. Kansas City, a 7-point favorite in a game that'll kick off at 3:05 Eastern time. Here are comments from Titans coach Mike Vrabel as he met the media earlier this week.
Your background as a player, having played in Kansas City, played in games like this, how much do you maybe draw on that, or is it your coaching experience at this point that matters as you go to this leg?
I mean, I think there's always experiences that you try to draw from, and as a player, I mean, that's what I have. I spent 14 years in the National Football League, and I don't even know how many playoff games, but those were good experiences about preparation and really focusing on what got us to this point, from where we were at different points in the season. And then there's also things that I have to do as a coach, to make sure that we're ready.
You see Derrick Henry having so much success against 8 in the box. What is it that makes your unit able to find that success in that situation?
Well, I think the guys try to finish. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. I think our receivers are willing to go in there and get that extra player. There's different ways to run the football, you know, against post safety defense. You know, and so we'll continue to try to do that. We'll continue to try to stay balanced, to try to throw the football. But I think everybody's buying in that it takes all 11 to run the football, whether that's the quarterback, you know, executing the call at the line of scrimmage to give us the angles, to get us in the right play, to give us the angles that we need. The line working in unison to get to the second level. And then certainly the receivers, Corey, Tajay, AJ, to go in there and dig out the guy that we got to get dug out.
Since Ryan's been the starter, red zone offense has only come up without a touchdown something like 4 times. How's that been possible, and how's the variety of what you do down there been sustainable?
I think the players have a lot of confidence down there. I think we've been able to get the ball to a lot of different players, which makes it exciting for them to be a part of the plan. We've been able to run it in. We've been able to throw it. Some plays that we've been you know, running since April 15th when we were here for OTAs, that the players are comfortable with, that they've run against a lot of different coverages. You know, and then there's been some scheme plays that we've added, you know, each and every week. And I know Arthur and his staff and I enjoy that process of coming in and looking at the red zone every week because, you know, the players have done such a good job of focusing on it, and it's helped us.
They have not lost since week 10 they left here. Where have you seen the biggest improvement from them?
I mean, they've given up 14 points a game defensively. You know, Spags has them playing very well. They've been able to turn the football over, create short fields for their offense, which is explosive. They're playing with the lead, you know, which then, you know, they can blitz, they can pressure, they can make life miserable for the quarterback when you're trying to come back, you know, in those games.
How much of a difference does Chris Jones make when he's in the lineup?
Well, he's a fantastic player. He's a big athlete. He's not just a grinder, a guy that just goes in and is going to try to go down the middle of you. He'll make you miss. He'll swim. I also think he's very instinctive. You know, when you watch him play in the run game and have an idea of where the ball is going, he's not just a guy that runs up the field, which I can appreciate, you know, just trying to get sacks all the time. I think he's an instinctive football player for a defensive lineman, and I know that I've talked about Jarrell in that regard. You just don't normally get those defensive linemen that have an idea of maybe what a run scheme is or, you know, how the blocking scheme is going to work.
What's about Ryan's skill set that makes him a fit for what you guys want to do?
I think he's athletic. I think he's accurate. I think he's prepared. I think he's a really good leader. I think that the guys he's been able to hold players accountable in his own way. I think that's the whole process of what we've been trying to do. You know, I certainly have a style. You know, my job is to hold everybody accountable. Arthur, Dean, and Craig have a style, but our players have to have styles to be able to hold each other accountable, you know, and not get our feelings hurt.
What is the balance there on holding people accountable, but then having good relationships, you know, being a player's coach? How do you find that balance?
Oh, I just try to be honest. You know, I'm not trying to be friends with them, but if I have a relationship with 63 players on this team and coaches, and sometimes those relationships are better than others. That's the reality of it. I try to be honest. I try to not waste a whole lot of time. We don't have a whole lot of time to hem-haw around. I try to be honest, direct, clear, concise. And I think that there's a lot of trust that goes into before you can hold somebody accountable, that they have to trust that I know what I'm talking about, that I'm putting the team first in every decision I make. And I think that the players have to trust each other so that they can hold each other accountable and say, you know, because then if you don't trust the guy and somebody says, you know, you need to pick it up, you know, then guys start, you know, there's pushback.
Some of the guys said that you refer to this team as street rats. What does that term mean, and how did you get started?
You know, just the guys, the type of guys that we have, you know, that play hard. You know, being a relatively young coach, you know, finished playing, went coaching, and Jim Haycock was at Ohio State, and you know, Jim has been a great mentor among other people, but my first office was next to Jim Haycock, and he was the defensive coordinator. I coached linebackers. Luke was the head coach, and Jim was the first one in. I mean, it was, you know, 4 a.m. We would talk, and I would ask him things, and he would say the greatest compliment you'll ever get as a coach is that your players play hard. When somebody that you respect in this profession says, you know, your guys play hard, and he was right when somebody, you know, finally told me that. But those are the type of players that we want, that we need, because when things get tough, which they always do, you know, those guys find a way. They compete. If you get beat, you don't pout, you don't sulk. You make a mistake on offense, you fumble, you throw an interception. Like, we have to come back.
You spent a lot of time comparing old school football versus new school football. I think you would fall in the old school category. I think the Chiefs would fall, and perhaps maybe even a bit of a new school with Patrick Mahomes. How do you see it? Do you differentiate?
Well, I think when you talk about the Chiefs, I think you talk about a coach that has done it for a long time and has seen and been able to adapt and to adjust to his roster. And whether you run, you know, I think this is cyclical. I think that if old school is hustling and being physical and playing hard, then that's, to me, football. And the schemes are always going to be great. Everybody's got a great scheme. But it's the players and the teammates that make the scheme really work.
When you sat down to put together your game plan for this week, did any particular message pop into your mind that you wanted to deliver to your guys?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we can't change what we've done to get us in this position, to have this opportunity. And, you know, on October 14th, we were 2-4. I was a bad coach, and this was a bad team. And, you know, we tried to believe in each other. We tried to improve, try to prepare, trust each other, execute, and that's what's gotten us here. So we can't change and start to make things up now.
Was there a particular game or stretch where you felt like the offensive line finally started to gel, and or has it just been a gradual process?
I think it's been a gradual process. I think what happens is the runner starts running and breaking tackles and making yards, and then the line starts getting excited, and then the line blocks better, and then maybe the runner doesn't have to run as well as he did before. But, you know, when you start rolling, then guys want to block better and finish longer than the guy with the ball, and you start to build confidence week to week, and then you build momentum through the week of practice and then into the game.
Is it more difficult, I guess, to block out the distractions, ignore the noise? Obviously, more people here today, and there'll be a lot of attention on this game. How tough is it to keep players locked in?
I think we're excited. I think that when I stand up here, we're excited to still be playing and practicing and locked in for a new challenge. Every game you win, the next one gets bigger. You go from 32 to 12, from 12 to 8, 8 to 4. I think my math's okay, but, you know, that's just where you're at. And we didn't know it any different. We really went to Houston and, you know, we put everybody's suit in a bag and we dry clean them for the night. If we win, we dry clean them and we give everybody their suit back for the next week and we fly. We did that in Baltimore and we'll do that again this week.
Comments from Mike Vrabel.
Even dry cleaning itinerary. How about that?
Sure enough, making sure it looked tight as you head on the road.
Somebody said on Twitter that he was wearing, apparently at some point today, a run the damn ball hat. that fits them, I think.
That's right. Sure enough. A little bit of the blind side. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The runaway number one in East Tennessee for sports. We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara, once again, outstanding in his pinch-hitting performance for Jimmy Hyams. Let's get a call from Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John. Hey, Vince. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Vince, I just want to talk to you, Vince, real quick. I just wanted to talk to you in a while. First, I just want to ask you about your holiday. Did you have a good holiday, Vince?
I did. Great holiday. Warm weather in Florida. Saw the family before and after the coverage of the Vols and the Gator Bowl, so went really well. Hope your holidays are great, Roger.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. And I just want to ask you a few questions real quick, Vince, and ask you too, John. But I just want to ask you both is about the Titan game. I know I asked you about this already, John, but I just want to ask you in a different way, Vince's question first about the Titan game. I know that the Kansas City is a tough game, is a tough offense to stop. I just want to ask you if you the Titans defense, how do you follow the game plan defense wise, Vince and John too? What kind of game plan do you try to come up with to be able to slow down their offense?
Hold the ball on offense. I think that's the best defense against the Chiefs' offense. I think that's the best way is limit their possessions by holding on to the football and shrink the game. And then maybe they tighten up a little bit in seeing that they're not getting as many possessions. Other than that, I think they have to do, and it's probably on Kevin Byard, have to do a great job on Travis Kelce. Because if he's getting loose in the middle of the field, it's going to open up everything with all they do with their speed guys on the perimeter. So that I think it starts with that. You can only hope to slow them down. I think the best way, though, is to possess the ball and then get out early on them, okay. And then, you know, try to shrink the game a little bit.
Yeah, I got you. How you see it going? How you see Vince and John too? Vince, how y'all see the game? How do you see it? John, but it's already. That's why I keep Vince. How you the game for the game itself? How you see? how you see the game going in advance.
Yeah, just real quick, and Roger, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Up against the end of the show, but I appreciate you asking my opinion. I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think the Titans will play the Chiefs a lot tighter and tougher than the Texans did a week ago. I think the Titans will have success running the football. When I pick these games, John, whether it's college or NFL, to me, the team with the most answers is the team I often go with. And even if the Titans have some success, I think the Chiefs have so many answers and ways to win and overcome things that might not go well. So that I like the Chiefs at home, and then the 49ers in the NFC, a similar way. They have a lot more answers and ways to win.
Yeah, I think the home teams are going to be tough to beat this weekend. But Vince, sure do appreciate it. Thanks so much for pinch hitting today.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Don't forget Saturday Sports Talk in the morning from 8 until 10. Tennessee basketball tomorrow night at 5:30. This is Sports Talk.